morning, Texas, and everybody else out there somewheresville. This is Mike Balsam from North Dakota. This is the Cup of Goodness program. Good morning. We are talking about the goodness of God, not the severity of God, not the chastisement of God. None of that stuff exists today. This is a dispensation of grace. And it's not like all the other dispensations where there was grace. This is the dispensation of grace. That's what it's all about. Not that you can go out and party hardy, but if you do, it's not imputed. And Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. That's his grace as well. And you just got to study this up a little bit to realize what a joyous time this should be. We're going to look at one of the biggies. I told you yesterday's program that we were talking about the gifts and how do we tell the difference between Romans 12 gifts and 1 Corinthians 12 gifts. And I said there was an event in history that took place that totally explains the whole thing. I said I was going to do that in the next program or two, and I'm going to set aside that answer because we're going to do this one, which also will be settled by that historical event that took place about 400 years ago. We'll talk about that pretty much guaranteed tomorrow. This morning, we're going to take on the big one, one of the big ones, put it that way, and this baptism, water baptism. Is it necessary? What is it about? What's going on here? What about those Paul guys just say you don't need to be baptized when it says what it says here in the scriptures and what da-da-da-da? Just keep in mind, the confusion of baptism ought to be a clue that there's something not right here. Some people say you need to be water baptized to be saved. Some people say you need to be water baptized after you're saved as just a picture of your salvation. Some people use baptism to join the church. And we can settle that one right away. You can say whatever you want for requirements to join your church. Just don't say that God requires it. So, and then the question is, what kind of baptism is it? Is it a water baptism? Baptism of fire? That's mentioned in there. Well, how about a water dip? We just kind of dip them in. How about a water drip? Where you drip it on their heads when they're babies, especially. Or how about a complete full-bore dunk? What's the status here? And then to the Baptists themselves, who say that the baptism is one of the two ordinances, that and the Lord's Supper, question, or I should say a statement, there is no place in the scriptures that tell us that Paul says to do these two ordinances. There's no place in the scriptures that say that those are the so-called two ordinances. And besides that, there's no place in the scriptures that tell us that Paul even says two of them. For whatever reason people say you need to have a water baptized, there's not a scriptural proof of that for today. Well, how about obedience to the scriptures? Well, I just showed you there is no place that tells us we need to be baptized today. You've got the phrase, being obedient to Jesus Christ. Now that you're saved, you need to be obedient to Jesus Christ and be baptized. Let's look at some scriptures here. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Obedience to faith. Let's go to Romans 16, verse 26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It never says obedience to Jesus Christ to be baptized. Well, what about the fact that Jesus was baptized? Shouldn't we do it too? Okay, let's go to John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. This is about John, obviously, the Baptist. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now remember, all this stuff in the Gospels, they had to just believe that he was the Son of God. Is that not what John the Baptist said in verse 34? And I saw and bear record that what? This is the Son of God. But now in verse 31, he says, Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Why is John come baptizing with water? that Jesus should be made manifest to Israel. This is John's ministry. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he does the water baptism to make Jesus manifest, make the Jews see, here he is. This is your Messiah. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. So that water baptism is what John was doing. Well, what about the excuse, it's a picture, it's a figure of salvation, and they go to 1 Peter for this one. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. This is where they go. Which sometimes were obedient, talking about the spirits in prison, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, parentheses, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, unparentheses, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, is it the answer to a good conscience? Is it something you really think you need to do? It says right here, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Oh, excuse me, this is Peter. Peter is the apostle to the Jews. So we go back to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, go back to the Gospels. John's baptism is what they're talking about here. Water baptism. It's not answer of a good conscience toward God. This isn't written to us. So there's no reason to be doing the water baptism based on a pastor that says, well, the answer of a good conscience toward God is that you need to be baptized now. Or somebody who says, you need to be obedient to the scriptures. Well, it doesn't say that. Obedient to faith. For those that think you need to be baptized to be saved, that's not in here. How about after you're saved? Well, it's not in Paul's books. Wait a minute, I thought Paul did a baptism. Well, we'll look at Paul in a minute here. Again, back to the question, is it a water dip baptism? Is it a drip baptism? Or is it a dunk baptism? Dip, drip, or dunk? How about none of the above? Okay, we just showed that when people say that, well, these are the two ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper, Paul never says two. Paul never says those are the two ordinances. Paul never says two. Obedience to scriptures? No. Obedient to Jesus Christ? No. Well, Jesus was baptized. Yes, but he was baptized to manifest himself to Israel. Is that why you're baptizing? Is to manifest yourself to your family or whatever? Well, it's a good testimony. No, it's not. It just confuses the issue because the people that are watching that thing, chances are they're churchgoers, and chances are they believe that that water baptism is what saves you, even though they won't even use the word save. They'll say that just makes you the child of God. Well, and how about baby baptism? There's not even an example in the Bible on baby baptizing. It's just not scriptural. Okay, let's keep going here. Like I said earlier, how about to join the church? Well, to say that you must be baptized in this particular church by this particular pastor who was baptized by a particular pastor, who was baptized by a particular pastor, who was baptized by a particular pastor in a particular church, and it goes all the way back to John the Baptist, that means you're a Christian. That's the Baptist brighter crowd. Well, that's no different than the Catholics to say that, you know, we got this apostolic succession. Apostles keep going back and they pass the blessings and holiness on to the next crowd. In lots of ways, as much as Baptists and Catholics say they differ, they really have a lot of similarities. But anyway, this is not what this program is about this morning. Okay, how about remission of sins? Well, does it ever say that anywhere? Well, yeah, it does actually. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, if you know anything about remission as compared to complete forgiveness, even being washed away, remission means it's all still there, but it's shut down for now. It can come back at any time. Mark 1:4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Well, they talk about it all the time in the Gospels. Well, sure they do. John's baptism was for the remission of sins. Luke 1:77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now, you know the difference between remission and washed away. Remission means it's still there, but it stopped being effectual. But whatever it is, it's still there. Having your sins washed by the blood of Christ, washed away, they never can come back because Christ took care of the law. major difference between the remission of sins in the Gospels and the forgiveness of sins through Paul's teaching. Look at Luke 12:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Oh, really? Remission of sins again. Then here's the classic one that most churches use, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's an order there. For the remission of sins, comma, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's during remission. Well, what about forgiveness? How important is that? Well, Paul offered forgiveness. Peter offered remission. The Jews were offered remission, and the Gentiles were offered total forgiveness. Acts 13:38. Be it known there unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's Paul. Paul's goals, Paul's objectives, Paul's mission according to Christ is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by Christ, by faith that is in me. So we have the forgiveness of sins. I would rather have the forgiveness of sins and have them washed away, never to be imputed to me again, than just have plain old lowly remission. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now here's one that some of you might not even have in your Bible. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I am aware of the fact that the phrase, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, they take out through the blood. Now why would they want to take out through the blood? Somebody doesn't want to learn anything about the blood of Christ, what it does. Okay, for the remission of sins, not a good excuse. How about just to fulfill the Great Commission in Mark and Matthew? Well, we've been over that before. Baptism would be a sign, something people could see. If we go to the Great Commission in Matthew and Mark, we already know that that's not written to us. We've talked about that many times. God puts the Jews on the shelf, as we would say, and so this water baptism doesn't seem to be important anymore. Well, what about this baptism of John thing? Well, I'll show you something here. This is Matthew 21:25. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or men? And the reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? That was about the baptism of John. The baptism of John, Mark 11:30. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Interesting how they would take that particular teaching about baptism and ask, is it from the people? Is it from the men? Luke 7:29. For all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. Acts 1:22. Beginning from the baptism of John, till that same day he was taken up, as one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Well, there's that mention of baptism of John. Acts 18:28. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he's teaching these people, this guy is teaching these people about Jesus on this earth. He's not teaching about things that are coming up in the future. And he just knows only the baptism of John. Being baptized with the baptism of John, and then in Mark, the baptism of John wasn't from heaven or of men. So we see the phrase baptism of John is referring to the water baptism. Okay, so is that something we should be dealing with? Is that something that's there? Well, really, there is only one baptism. It's not a water baptism. It's a spiritual baptism. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me show you where for baptism is at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me, this is Paul speaking, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Isn't that interesting? He wasn't called to go baptize people down there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So Paul mentions one baptism. Which baptism is the one that sticks? To be saved? After you're saved? To join church? Why are we baptizing? When Paul said he didn't come to baptize? Well, I'm sorry, but he did baptize. Well, yeah, I know. Let me show you something here. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. I'll show you where he does it. I'm aware of that. Well, if Paul says he didn't come to baptize, yet he baptized somebody, we should follow Paul's example and be baptized. No, let me show you something. Acts chapter 19. Look at Acts chapter 19. Here's the baptism that Paul did. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Now remember, we went over John's baptism, the baptism of John. Them being baptized in the water. That was that purpose. And when Christ was baptized, it was to manifest himself to Israel. So that when they're talking about unto John's baptism in verse 3, then they're talking about the gospel's water baptism. Verse 3, And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, They that should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Oh, so you mean when these guys were baptized, then they didn't receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, as the Bible calls it. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Really? This is the stuff that took place after a baptism, and it was a water baptism. So did Paul say he came to baptize? No, he didn't come to baptize. Did Paul say that it's an ordinance? No, it wasn't an ordinance. Was it of the two ordinances? No. No place in the scriptures written to us that tells us that water baptism is important before or after. Now, the classic place for the after salvation place to go is Acts chapter 8. Verse 34, And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. See, it wouldn't have been Jesus Christ yet, because he hasn't come back. He rose, but he still hasn't come back. And it's just before Paul. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Here we go. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He didn't say he believes from his heart. He didn't say he had faith in Christ. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, and there it goes. So we certainly can't go to Ethiopian eunuch and Philip to prove baptism comes after salvation, because that's not what this is about at all. You certainly can't say that. So when one looks at all the confusion of baptism, and one looks at all the water baptizing or the lake baptizing and the river baptizing in a swimming pool baptizing in a bathtub in a horse trough, and when you find out that the scriptures really don't tell you that you have to do that baptism, the scriptures that tell you that there are those so-called two ordinances in the scriptures where it's called ordinances, but he doesn't say to obey both of them. Here's what Paul says. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Keep the things that Paul has taught you. It's not law. And does he say, and keep the two ordinances that I delivered unto you? Doesn't say that. We got to be careful what pastors and people put on you for their little intelligent preaching things here. And besides that, Christ is having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He abolished that stuff. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, he blotted that out. So why are you worried about ordinances when you're not told about the two and the Lord's Supper? What's the point of the Lord's Supper? It'll be a different program. Just want you to realize that water baptism, what does it do? Well, it gets people wet. And for some people, it becomes a wet t-shirt contest, because they get baptized with nothing else except their white robes, and when they come out of the water, I've been there, I've seen that happen. It's just like terrible. Why would a pastor put somebody through that? It's beyond me. Tons of confusion for water baptism. So what is it that we need to be looking for baptism? Well, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we look at verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Are we talking about a literal physical drink here? Have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It's a spiritual baptism. We don't need to be doing a baptism in our churches as a type of salvation. You can if you want to, I guess, but just don't say that God told you to do that, because God didn't tell us to do that. You can say if you want to make somebody join the church, that's fine, but just don't say God said. You want to baptize somebody after they're saved? Go ahead, but just don't say that God told you to in the scriptures. If you're trusting in your baptism to get you to heaven, then you still are not trusting in Christ. And does Paul ever say two ordinances? Never says two ordinances. Did Paul come to baptize? Nope. And the one that he did, he had to lay hands upon him afterwards for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Is it an answer to a good conscience? No. That's the Jews. How about obedience to Jesus Christ? No. How about because Jesus was baptized? No. He manifests himself to Israel when he had that baptism done. Are you trying to manifest yourself to somebody? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. I'm hoping that when you read this verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. See, we don't want the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 isn't written to us. Okay, how about Mark 16? Great Commission. It says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I would think that if we're going to claim that verse today, which we don't, because that's the Great Commission to the Jews during eight chapters of Acts, but if you were to claim that, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth and is not baptized shall be damned. But it doesn't say that. And what about these people that believe you should be baptized after you're saved? What about these people that believe that you can lose your salvation? Okay. Well, let's say that you lost your salvation, and let's say that your heart got right with God, as they put it, another couple of years, and you get saved again. Well, shouldn't you be baptized again? There's a million questions that deal with baptism. And really, it's not even an issue. We don't have to be baptized today. He doesn't tell us to be baptized today. He doesn't want us to be baptized today. And we showed the fact that the scriptures don't tell us to be baptized. The scriptures also don't tell us to celebrate, as I say, the Lord's Supper or communion. But that'll be a different program too. You go to the risen Savior, baptism is over with. The Lord's Supper is over with. Communion, not necessary. All sorts of things. What happened that made this stuff change like that? Because John's baptism was a water baptism. In the tribulation, baptism will be out of a good conscience towards God. In the tribulation, it'll be for remission of sins, as it was in the Gospels. Do you want remission of your cancer? You want your cancer to be washed away. I don't want to just have remission. I want to have my sins washed away. And this is the time to do it. This is the dispensation of grace. But it isn't baptism that's washing them away. It's a spiritual baptism that Paul talks about. It's that simple. Do I need to say it one more time? You don't need to be water baptized for any reason. You don't need to feel guilty that you didn't have a good baptism. You don't have to wonder if your baptism scored points with God. You don't have to wonder why baptism is such a immodest activity in front of your church family. We don't have to do a water baptism, period. And the scriptures attest to that. They don't tell you to go have a baptism if you're rightly dividing the word of truth.